Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio, 4 days a week, for your disturbed, masochistic pleasure. Learning about terrible things is not a nice thing to go, but occasionally we have, you know, good news, great discoveries and things of that nature, which are, you know, going to be quite beneficial for those, the listeners who are listening, and to figure out how to help yourself in a number of ways. Listen to shows all the time is what I recommend, because there's a lot that gets said on this show, a lot of different guests, a lot of different topics, and you'll gain perspective by listening regularly. And you will gain it at a geometric rate, far more than if you're interrupted by ad breaks every 5 minutes. My very special guest coming on with me today for the first hour is Matthew David Hurtado, the creator of the revolutionary RNA drops. Matthew, welcome.
Welcome, Vinny. Nice to be here.
And he also used to be a host on American Freedom Radio as well. That's why he's welcoming me to my own show.
Yeah, it's like a homecoming all over again.
And let's face it, I am the homecoming queen. Speaking of which, I wanted to actually get your story on this. What are the RNA drops? How did you come up with them? How did you discover the formula? That kind of thing. Could you let me in on the info, bro?
Sure, Ken. Yeah, the story goes back quite a ways. I've been in health supplements, nutraceuticals since I was interested as a teenager. I was buying stuff from the general nutrition store at age 13. You know, sports my whole life, and I got into some illnesses when I got into my early 20s. And the pinnacle of the worst of it is I ended up having Lyme's disease at age 28, 29, 30, and I was bedridden for a couple years. And along that process, I spent about $100,000+, bankrupted my family trying to get well. We couldn't figure anything out, tried everything. And I started to finally, after that all bottomed out, I started to eventually get some answers. And the RNA drops came along, more of a recent discovery, but it's what's called exotic matter. So some of the stuff I found, it got me well, and today I have 100% health again. And I'm lifting weights at age 38, like I did when I was 19, and, you know, just picture of perfect health. So I started to look in new directions instead of looking at the doctors and what they could do nothing for me except for bankrupt me. I started to look at what the body really needed. And so the body really needs, you know, some basic things every single day. It needs, you know, 72 essential minerals to function properly every single day without fail or exception. And there's only one real cause of illness, which is a malfunctioning cell, and that spreads throughout the body. And then you have two pathways, deficiencies and toxicities. So I started to figure these things out because I followed some good people. And then I started to find what's called exotic matter. And RNA drops are in the realm of exotic matter, and those are monatomics. And specifically in our formula, we use four different ones. We have gold, silver, iridium, and ruthenium. And we have a pharmaceutical grade probiotic for the stomach health. So that's how it all came to be in a nutshell.
So in terms of its capacity, what's like the most amazing thing it's done for somebody?
Well, there's a lot of different stories. I'm primarily fond of the stories with people that have some real serious health issues. And I got to be careful what I say because I don't want to make any claims. So whatever I say is for entertainment purposes only. So when I had PTSD and I discovered this stuff, and how I discovered it is a good story too, because I heard about monatomic gold from the studies that were done in 2003 at the Alpha Learning Institute by director Sean Adams, who has the sixth highest IQ in the world. And, you know, the guy can read a book like in 30 minutes and he can remember everything he read for years and years and years. So he teaches people how to optimize brain function. And he did a study with several Apple, I think it was over a dozen different people on the effects of monatomics gold on the brain. And what he found was that within seconds, that within like 3 seconds, once the gold touched the saliva, that both hemispheres, left and right in the brain, synchronized right away. So you're not stuck in this left brain dominant logical prison. You can slip into the other side and you can access more of your potential. And that alone was enough for me to say, I want to give this a try. So we added more. We contacted a company in Switzerland, which is the only real company in the world that can produce it at the quality that we got it at. And we asked them what else we should put in there, because we wanted to do a complete immune support. We wanted to do brain support, anything you could think of that would help the body heal, DNA, RNA. We wanted to find the best of what's out there and put it in there. And we got these four elements. I got the product in. I took the product, and within 12 days, I no longer had any of the PTSD attacks ever again. And it's been a year and a half, almost 2 years since that day. So that's my story. Other people have had different experiences, and we do have some of them. You can see them online. If you search, it's not too hard to find. But, you know, that's in a nutshell. What you've got is you've got sort of a panacea, but it's mostly geared towards helping with the DNA in the body through the RNA, and then also helping the brain access more of your own unlimited potential.
So what is RNA?
RNA would be, you know, our ribonucleic acid, the RNA that, you know, influences the DNA in the body.
And what kind of function does it perform? Is it sort of like DNA? It sort of performs all functions and structure in the body, or is it just like a little helper?
It's sort of like the copy machine. You give it a blueprint, and it sends copies to the DNA. So, you know, it replicates based like that. It's like a copy machine. You could think of it as like you give it a blueprint. The RNA gives it the blueprint, and then it prints it out. You know, so it can. You know, I'm not really versed in this as much as I should be, but
what it sounds like to me is the protein assembly line, you know, like all of your amino acids and everything in your DNA that gets activated or deactivated do so because of defective protein constructions. And proteins are made out of huge, long strings of extremely complicated code. And if the code's not done right, your body can't access the proteins properly, and its DNA malfunctions.
Yeah, that's a perfect way of explaining it. Yeah.
Well, it seems to me that the medical system doesn't really care too much about the workings of the body, because, quite frankly, if they knew a lot about the workings of the human body, they'd be able to cure things and thus put themselves out of business. So they're not interested in that.
Yeah, you know, that's never going to happen. It might happen someday, but that's not what they're going to – that's not what they're shooting for.
Okay, let me pitch you a scenario here. The Surgeon General comes out publicly and says, ladies and gentlemen, we have a medical supplement and cure that you can make and grow yourself that will work on pretty much any condition, and you will never need a hospital again unless it's an absolute emergency. All right. Now, these are the things that you will never see, is it?
No, you'd probably see the Surgeon General would probably have an accident, and he would probably fall off a 25-story building accidentally about a week later, if he actually said that, based on what happens in today's world.
Well, I had Dr. Rima Labo on just the other day, and in fact, a lot of people have been talking about this, about how a lot of naturopathic doctors are being bumped off just in recent times.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm getting at. It's ridiculous. It's just the world we live in. It's upside down. But you know what? The average person has to just realize that, you know, the average person has to do their own due diligence, and they have to look and weigh out the consequences of what they're going to put in their body and know that the answers are out there. And that's what I had to do. I had to find the answers myself. You know, I was dying. So what else was I going to do? I spent every last dollar I had and then some, because, you know, that's what you got to do. You got to get the answers for yourself.
Well, I think doctors basically coerce people into something using this thing called a fear of death. Okay, it's like, you don't have any choices. This is your only options. You're going to die if you don't do what I tell you, if you don't take these pills. Yeah. Well, how many side effects have those pills got?
Only about 700,000.
Yeah, you're right. Well, I had that happen to myself. I went into the ER, and I had a cocktail put in my arm on a visit, and they gave me 6 drugs through an IV. And I went into shock, and I couldn't use my legs for a couple months after that. And it took a lot of doing to get myself back functioning again. So I got a firsthand experience of what those drugs. I'm just glad I walked. I'm glad I got out of there. I'm glad I was alive. Let's just put it that way.
Well, I mean, isn't that part of getting released from hospital sort of thing? Like, everybody just rolls through the doors and, like, stretches their arms out and pumps their fists in the air.
I'm alive! I survived the hospital!
Yeah, exactly. Oh, gosh, it's a sad state of affairs.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, it's like coming out of the lion's den. It's like, you know, you've got better chances of going into a really, really bad neighborhood with a big racist placard in a Klan suit outfit or something like that. You'll have better chances of survival doing that than going into a hospital with cancer.
Yeah, that would be the last place I would probably go for that. You know, I would. There's so many options out there that, you know, especially if you get into the study of German New Medicine. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but the biological conflicts and then the healing phase and you know, that sort of study. I'm very versed in that these days, and that they have a completely different understanding of these so-called diseases. And you know, you think the logic. You go into a hospital and you know, you want to do the chemotherapy. Chemotherapy is mustard gas. So I guess for some purposes that could be a way to kill things, but do we always have to kill everything? Is that the only thing we know how to do? Just to kill and cut, kill things and cut them out?
Well,
that's my question.
Yeah, kind of want to keep them alive for as long as possible until their bank accounts is empty, and then you kill them.
Yeah, I think I would just say here's my bank account. You can take it, and I'll skip the hospital visit. That would be a more appropriate solution.
Yeah, I mean, here's $1 million. Just sign that I've got a clean bill of health, and then I can go to a naturopath, okay? Thank you.
Yeah, send me to another country so I can heal naturally, and I'll check out here and sign off.
I hear Indonesia's weather is lovely this time of the year.
Yeah, exactly.
Except for the tsunamis.
So I was looking online here, and I found this is what we have when we talk about the Scientific American Journal. In May of 1995, the platinum metal ruthenium was discussed in relationship to human DNA. When single ruthenium atoms were placed at each end of the double helix, it became 10,000 times more conductive to light. As the rediscoverer of monatomic gold, David Hudson quoted, "Alchemy deals with a transformation down to the cells, to the DNA." So that was in the American Scientific American Journal of May of 1995 about ruthenium. That's one of our 4 different elements that we have in there. So, you know, this kind of stuff, this exotic stuff, is out there, and it's for experimental purposes. It's not, you know, none of this stuff is regulated by the FDA. It's you got to just
not yet.
You know, you got to try it and see. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I hope, well, by that time, I guess supplement companies won't be around anymore then.
Yeah, that depends. I mean, we can always hope. But,
yeah.
See, I always get this real schism because I see the you know how there's a false left-right paradigm between politics, but there's a false left-right paradigm for the people who've woken up to the false left-right paradigm above that? Like, for example, the mainstream false left-right paradigm is Hillary and Bush, right? And the alternative false left-right paradigm is Sanders and Donald Trump, you know? It's like they try to catch you, right? As soon as you figure out one scam, they have another one already running, so that you'll run towards that. The medical system, is no different. Once you figure out that the medical system's a scam, you start going for your nutrients and your vitamins. The problem is a whole bunch of the nutrient and vitamin suppliers out there are basically corrupt scum who put about 10% of the vitamins in the stuff, and that's not including the fact that, hey, your body can only process about 10% of the pill anyway. So you're just wasting it.
Yeah, exactly. Most of them use, the cheap binders, fillers, and then anything that ends in 8 is a processed inorganic compound. And if you look at the, I used to own a nutritional franchise store, and one of the books that came along really opened my eyes. And it actually was where they took all these brands of supplements and they took them into the lab and tested them. And they rated them on a scale of 1 to 100, which 100 meant that it was a quality supplement. It actually had what it claimed in there in a form that your body could utilize. And 1 meant it was absolute garbage. And you could take most of the brand name stuff that was out there and you could look at it in this book, and it was usually like a 10 or below. I mean, the stuff was just pathetic.
So again, you've got to be looking in different places than mainstream health food shops and things like that. All been corrupted, you know, or at least the majority of them, at least, especially the big ones, you know. Have you noticed that as soon as somebody reaches a certain level of power and influence, that's when they get approached to either shut down or be co-opted?
Yeah, exactly. And the nature of the beast is that the greed rules at the end of the day for most of it. And a lot of these guys, they get the same stuff from, they order it from China, they get the raw ingredients from China where it's the cheapest, but it's not really pure at all. And then it comes over here and it turns into a complete worthless product, and then it's marked up thousands of times, and then you buy it. And that's where I found myself. When I was sick, I thought that I tried a couple things and they didn't do anything for me. And then I was spending, $800 to $1,000 a month on health supplements, thinking I was going to do something for my body, but it only made me sicker. And I was wondering, what's wrong? I can't get any better.
Well, it's just you're loading yourself full of useless crap, isn't it?
Well, yeah, that and the idea that I was throwing the money away every month, it was just that stress alone was a double stress. Yeah.
Yeah. Why does being healthy have to be so expensive and being sick is so cheap, you know? I mean, I saw this great Facebook meme this one time, bro, and it had 2 breasts of organic chicken in a shopping cart, and next to it was 4 bottles of Coke and 5 bags of Ruffles or something like that, and a couple packs of chocolate, and they cost the same. Right. All that junk food, all that soda pop versus 2 chicken breasts, and it's the same price. Now, it seems to me that we're basically being forced, economically speaking, at least the very lower socioeconomically speaking, are being forced in not quite so subtle a way to become sick, to become dependent, to become nutrient deficient, and to be susceptible to all forms of disease. Now, that's just, at a base level. I wonder, I know the intention behind it, because a sick population can't defend themselves. A sick population can't think. They're a hell of a lot easier to manipulate, you know?
Yeah, there's nothing more dependent than a sick person. A sick person is the ultimate slave.
So is that what we're being turned into, like gradually getting sicker and sicker and sicker and being turned into the ultimate slave, provided you don't have the money for the clean food and the good products and things of that nature? And in some cases, good products aren't even that expensive. It's just the mere fact that they're not owned by multinational conglomerates with giant advertising budgets, so even though it's out there, you don't hear about it.
Yeah, well, I just saw this article today. It's on my Facebook, America's New Normal, Chronically Ill Kids. So, you know, back when I did my studies, it was, you know, a few years ago, 3 out of 4 Americans live with a chronic diagnosable disease. That's plus 75%+ of people have a chronically diagnosable disease. And what's even worse than that is that now you have the kids following suit. And it's absolutely pathetic. It's horrendous. And it's not hard to see the problem. You just explained it. You know, since when did all this processed stuff that we consume that's full of toxins and chemicals actually become food? It's not food. It's toxic. And a little bit is okay. I mean, everybody's going to have to endure a little bit just to keep their body strong. But most people live on the stuff day in and day out. And like you said, it's nutrient deficient. And you run deficiencies, which causes your cells to malfunction. Then you got all these problems. And then you get symptoms. And you go to the doctor, and they give you more drugs, which creates more deficiencies, more problems. And then you got more symptoms. And you get on this roller coaster downward. And then you're hopeless. Like, you become this ultimate slave to the system. Because if you don't have your health, you can't think straight. Like you said, you're not gonna be very powerful. You're not going to have much self-esteem. You're not going to do much with your life, and you live off the system. And if you do want to become powerful and you do take your health back, you do all these things, then there's a whole new set of invisible tripwires out there for you. So it's complex either way you look at it.
That's why I really do get frustrated when people say, oh, I've got the solution. It's gonna end the world. We all do this. We all do that. As if a single action multiplied can force a system that is so integrated into everybody's way of life, and indeed integrated into their life itself, can just be washed away all of a sudden. That just seems insane to me. It doesn't make any sense. It sounds like some people have forgotten that sometimes hope, uncritical positive thinking, is actually an incredibly dangerous thing.
Yeah. It reminds me of the joke of the guy who was the pyramid marketing scheme guys, that one of them was in a 3-story building and he fell out of the window, and then halfway down his friends yelled out and said, "How you doing?" He said, "I'm doing great so far." You know. The blind optimism is, you know, the blithering idiot may be happy, but, you know, the days are probably numbered on that.
Well, what's also problematic is that those people who realize that they were idiots and they awaken up from that, again, there's another trap for them, which is looking down on everybody else and criticizing them and thinking that they're less than human and starting to dehumanize the whole species, you know?
Yeah, you get made fun of if you become, you know, look at all the people that go organic and they get, you know, they care about what they put in their body. They have all these movies now where they show those people as nut jobs. And so they get society to look at you like you're crazy, but then you go into the Walmart or any local place where people congregate that are living, a lot of them are just existing by the propaganda, and you look at them and you see them in their wheelchair with their oxygen tank being strolled around, and you say, is this any kind of existence? I mean, this is, why even be alive? I mean, what's the point, you know?
Do you think people have lost purpose to their life, bro?
I think they get up
in the morning and they make their breakfast and they go to work and then they come home afterwards and then they watch TV and they eat their dinner and they go to sleep, right? And they want to do that forever, right? That they want to repeat that cycle forever, because They think it's safe. They think they're being productive. But I don't see it that way. I see it as
I'm glad you said that.
I see it as a waste of potential. I see it as a destruction of somebody's originality and their creative potential. There's a million different inventions that could be invented and have prototypes running tomorrow if all the people that had those ideas in their head didn't have to go to work to do a job they hate for somebody they hate even more than their job, their boss.
Yeah. Well, I have never been able to figure that out because everything inside of me would be rebelling against that. And I've only come to the conclusion that maybe they're not, you know, from the same original species or something. Because I don't know how a human soul could be confined to such mediocrity and be okay with it. I just don't. I don't know how they do it.
I'd just take a stab in the dark and say a lifetime of mind control from cradle to grave that teaches them that doing what you're told and keeping on doing what you're doing and the same old is actually a good idea.
I guess that's probably what it is. It's the cultural programming, and they've never gotten outside of that to see that there's another path. It's scary. It's really scary. Actually, I have a friend, and I have a lot of friends that they're on pharmaceutical drugs, and the common denominator is that they're on these benzodiazepine drugs, which are more addictive than heroin, and they're using them to sleep. They're using them to calm their anxiety. They're using them for all these purposes because the doctors are so quick to hand these out, and you know. They have so many emotional problems and they have so many issues going on. And I just keep thinking, have you ever read the side effects of this stuff? And does it all make sense to you that maybe you're going through side effects of this drug? And they don't see it that way. They think that this is just normal.
Like, I just have to suffer through this, just like I've suffered through everything else in my life. But it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, sure, you have to endure suffering, but that's not all that life is going from one period of suffering in one way to going to another period of suffering in a different way. How can you make that your life? How can you accept it without wanting to change it? And, you know, for me, I think I may have gotten down that path had certain people not come into my life and told me that there was a different way, a better way.
Yeah. So let's talk about the better way, because that I think that's where the pivotal moment takes place, and when you start to, you know, get an awareness that, okay, maybe I have been, you know, suppressing a lot of my desire and succumbing to a life that doesn't make me happy. I think that's the reality check, is that if you're living a life that is not in alignment with your true being, you won't be happy. And if you're not happy, you're going to invite a lot more dis-ease. A lot more dis-ease is going to come into your experience when you live in a chronic state of being unhappy. And entertainment doesn't make you happy long-term. Entertainment is actually will rob your happiness because it's not really productive.
I just actually thought about that, you know, how many hours, how many hundreds, probably even thousands of movies that I've watched, how many thousands of hours I've played video games, and I like looked around and I just thought about this. Went to my YouTube channel and I saw 3,000 videos that had been produced around the same time that I've been watching all that movies and playing all that games and stuff. I was thinking, what if I'd made 6,000 videos instead? You know, because I look around my office and there's absolutely nothing to show for all those movies and all that gaming. Like literally nothing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just did a coaching session today, and the guy that I was working with, he fell out of a relationship that he was in for 3 years with a girl that he loved, and she left him. And you know, the first thing that he did was he took one of his drugs because he wanted to calm his emotions. And then the next thing that took place was we got into the real depth of what happened. And the words that she said to him was, I have to be with somebody that has passion in life. I can't be with somebody that's not going anywhere. And then he said, you know, I feel that way. I feel like I don't have a passion for anything. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life. And I think a lot of people feel that way. And so I brought it back around to, you don't have to know what your complete life passion is. All you have to know is, you know, what is it that excites you right now? Like, what is it? And if it's playing video games, then see if you can do it and make it sort of a more active experience. You know, if you want to play video games, then play a video game, but see if you can make it more of something that can be beneficial for more people than just yourself. And get outside of yourself, because that's when you get depressed, when you're all in your head and your problems. If you get outside of yourself and you start, you know, living for other people and start doing things to help other people, then you can start to become very happy. Because I think, you know, it's, you got to be kind of heliocentric. You got to think in a broad spectrum of what am I here to do on this planet and how can I serve? And I think the problem with a lot of people is this entitlement mentality. I think that's what's ruined the entire cultures, is that everybody feels that they are owed everything because the governments pander to that and they want you to feel that they're going to give you everything you ask for. But in reality, if we start, you know, serving other people and we start getting into that mindset, everybody's going to become a lot happier in general. And I think that's the core issue at the bottom, you know, the bottom picture, so to speak.
Well, when I quit my job, I called a friend first and told him I was about to do it. And he said, just does it feel right? And I was like, yeah, it did feel right. That was the last full-time job I ever had. And never again will I work for somebody else. I'll work with people, and I'll help people, and I'll do work on my own time and stuff like that for, you know, thousands of hours that somebody couldn't even pay me to do. But I won't work for anybody. I won't be told what to do. I won't be told what right and wrong is. I know what right and wrong is, and I expect to be trusted to know the difference.
Yeah. Well, and that's a decision. I made that decision myself as well years ago, and I wasn't happy with working for somebody else's leftovers. You know, if you work for somebody else, they got to buy you at wholesale and sell you at retail. That's just standard economics. So I thought, you know what? I've built, three companies that have done millions of dollars in sales, and you know, I've had companies that have failed, you know, more companies that have failed than have succeeded, but I don't remember those anymore because I took my initiative was always figuring out how I'm going to get my health back. And then I'm going to show other people how, you know, they can kind of, you know, do their own research and they can see some of these things come together for themselves. So that's kind of how I stepped into what I do today. And I don't feel like I this is what I would do for free, basically. You know what I'm saying? This is what I would do anyway. So I don't see it as work, kind of what you're saying. I would work, you know, thousands of hours for no pay or whatever. But, and if everybody could just figure that out, you know, there's three things. You know, either you have a passion or you have something that causes you a lot of pain in life, and that will become your passion, is getting out of that pain, or you go through a transformation that you want to be a part of. And those three avenues are the best places to look if you want to try to find your purpose and then get back on the right path again. Because I've noticed that a lot of times people with a lot of health issues, sometimes they got to get their pocketbook right. And then a lot of these health issues start to get easier too, because, you know, when you find your purpose and you find where you're supposed to be, it seems like you'll be able to make ends meet a lot quicker than when you're chronically sedated, watching mindless sports, drinking booze, working at a dead end job. You know, that kind of stuff isn't really designed. What I know is that a human being has to be on purpose, and prosperity shows up in that place. And if we're not on purpose, it's supposed to hurt. We're supposed to be depressed.
Why do you think you're angry Why do you think you're depressed? Why do you think you're miserable? Why do you think you hate everything? Okay? It's because you're not being who you really are, and you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. It is the universe telling you that you're being a dick, and you should be living your life differently if you want to get more out of it. Sounds pretty straightforward to me. Whenever I walk on really sharp stones without shoes, it hurts. It's the stone sending a signal to my feet, and my feet sending a signal to my brain to wear some fucking shoes. Okay?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, hey, buddy, you know, if you're going to walk out here on rocks and not wear shoes, you're supposed to bleed. You know, this is how it's supposed to be. Well, that's where I found when I manifested my worst disease. I've had three incurable illnesses in my life that I've overcome. And when I manifested the worst of them, it was because I was living, like you said, I worked for a boss. I worked at a job where I was degraded, belittled, and told what to do. And I was always reprimanded for something that felt like made no sense at all. It was just a power trip. And I put up with it. And I put up with it day after day after day. So my soul was already dead. So the body was going to follow shortly after. And that's kind of what I attribute to the onset of my illness. Many people think it's because of all the poisons and the toxins and things I ate. Well, you know, those create a stress too. And you got to be mindful of, you know, the toxic load you put in your body. You're the custodian of it. But most of the time when you take ill, it was a long time coming before it happens. You know, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of a chronic state of behavior that leads you into a chronic state of physical illness too.
It's like it happens to talk radio show hosts a lot, and I've seen this, man. I've seen real fit, healthy guys get in the talk radio chair, and they just balloon out. They get real fat because, dude, it's not only a job that has no physical exercise associated with performing it, but it's one that actually forces you indoors, like doing research and working on computers and stuff like that. So even when you want to get your physical exercise, you've got work to do that prohibits it from happening. And at the same time, because that's happening, because you're not exercising, it builds up anxiety. You know, I mean, do you wonder why so many talk radio show hosts sound like they're on edge?
And yeah, I suppose it's easy for them to sound like that. Well, I really like Michael Savage. I love when he gets angry and he starts yelling. Even Alex Jones, I love the persona when they start to throw that anger out, because it's almost like
it's cathartic, comedy,
but I can tell it's real. You know, they're really angry.
Well, it's cathartic as well. I mean, let's face facts here. The vast majority of the people that listen to alternative talk radio are angry about something. And a large proportion of them are angry at everything. Yeah. I mean, so, and it is cathartic to see that kind of release. It's validating. All right, if you've got a head full of rage at the New World Order and the scumbaggery, and then all of a sudden you see somebody screaming out the exact same kind of rage and the same sort of thoughts that you that are driving you nuts, it suddenly makes you a little less nuts for some reason.
Yeah, and it makes you feel that you're not alone. Like, hey, we're all pissed off about this. We know that we're getting screwed every which way we look at it, you know, and we got these political parasites up there lying day in and day out. It's just, it's ridiculous. Everybody's mad about it, but I allow myself to get mad. I do. I take it out in the gym. It actually makes me, you know, get the exercise, because that's what takes me to the gym. I get angry. I go work out, but then I focus on, okay, I know that the world is sort of upside down very much. So what am I going to do about it? Well, the only thing I can do is I have influence over me. That's the only thing I have influence over. So I'm just going to take care of my body, and I'm going to take care of my mind, and I'm going to reach for the furthest joy that I can find in every single moment, and I'm going to try to suck the life juice. I'm going to try to suck the joy out of this existence and do the one thing that they would never want me to do, to be happy.
Well, see, I've also got I do like to be happy. However, sometimes I actually want to suffer, right? Like, I actually want to punish myself. Like, I remember this is one time back in 2012 when I was getting a hell of a lot of donations, and me and the wife were eating takeaways every night, and we're both getting really fat, and it was just like, you know what? I need to be punished for doing this, bro. I mean, living high on the hog off my donors' dollars, so, you know, I prayed. And I only pray when I want to be punished for something, because I know that when you want help, you don't fucking get it. But, so I got down on my knees and go, God, please fuck up my life. I've been getting it too easy for too long. And I need some suffering, and I need some tension, and I need some anxiety. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yeah. And I went to bed, and the next morning when I woke up, my PayPal account was cancelled.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I took out like that's about a third of my income.
You asked for it, so you got it. That'll definitely make you pissed off.
And then I got down on my knees and I went, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what I wanted. Account.
Yeah. They put their 6-month lock on it for you and steal all your money for 6 months.
Yeah, but luckily I just created a new one and everything was fine after a couple of months. So
yeah,
I just needed it. You see, when you lose your path, when you lose your way, when you forget what you're fighting for, you know, like. I'm fighting for the people who got nothing to eat, you know, and I'm eating takeaways every night. I know when I'm doing something wrong and I try to punish myself. That's why I don't like working for people, because they try to punish me for when I do things wrong, unknowing that I will punish myself in due course. You know, I've never gotten away with anything. And so maybe I've developed this kind of, I don't know, this alter ego that says, bad Vinny. Bad Vinny, you've been very naughty. Nobody knows about it, but I know about it, and I feel guilty about it, and I need to do something bad to myself. Not hurt myself or anything like that. Just suffer a little bit.
Well, that's kind of cool. You're balancing the scales immediately without having to wait for the come around, the boomerang to come back. Yeah.
Well, see, karma's mostly a bitch when you don't see it coming.
Yeah, you see, you plan your karma, it sounds like.
I mean, and I plan my life around that, you know. I set up all these little waypoints and things like that. Like, for example, one of my greatest fears is turning into a scumbag. You know, like becoming corrupted, not caring about people anymore, not helping anyone. I really, and just doing it all for the money and the fame and the fortune, you know. I really don't want to turn into that guy. I know he's there, and I'm watching him. here he is, a little ugly head, you know, that kind of ego starts welling up in me. But a lot of people don't do that, do they? They're not hard on themselves enough. They've had it too easy for too long that they've forgotten what they're fighting for. They've forgotten that there was even a fight on. And they got defeated as a result of their abdication. And when people are defeated, hey, man, there's not a whole lot you can do to get them back on the battlefield other than them making the decision themselves. You can't force somebody to sit down and watch 6 months of 2 documentaries a day so that they learn a geometric rate about the world and abandon most of their preconditioned belief structures. You can't force somebody to do that.
No, you can't. You can only send them love and just wish them the best, because at that point, you just can't. The only thing you can do is not be one of them. That's it. You can be totally diametrically opposed to that sort of behavior, so that at least they can say, hey, what is Vinny doing? How come he's not complacent? What's he doing out there trying to do something with his life? You know?
You know, it reminds me of, was it Trey Parker and Matt Stone being interviewed in Bowling for Columbine about how high school really sucked and it was boring and how there was nothing to do and how all those people that you thought you'd have to be around your entire life as soon as you left high school, whoosh, they're gone. And most of them never get anywhere.
Well, it's bad. Yeah, they're, you go back to the same bar, you know, randomly. You know, maybe once every 10 years, and you'll see the same people, the same core group. They'll still be there worshiping that place as if that was the pinnacle of their achievement in all of their life. Is they Friday night with the guys, same thing every week, like clockwork.
I mean, is that what we're waiting for? You know, the next poker game with the guys. I mean, there's a proviso here, though. Hanging out with people and getting wasted and having a good time isn't necessarily that bad for your health or your mental health. Because a lot of people who are still alive today, who are really, really old, are smoking a pack of cigarettes a day, drinking half a bottle of scotch. But when they're doing it with all their old friends. And they're laughing their asses off the whole time. It's when you drink because you're sad that it kills you.
Yeah, that's true. And there's also, you know, there's this thing with balance in your life. And you see, passive leisure, if it becomes the, you know, the modus operandi of your entire existence, that will actually destroy happiness and rob self-esteem. Because we're designed to create. We're co-creators. So the more you create, you know, you get this, you know, this joy comes bubbling up from within you. And you see, joy is so much higher vibrationally, and it affects the DNA. You know, that's what epigenetics was all about, the study of the DNA, Bruce Lipton's work. You see, we're talking about wellness here. We're talking about sickness versus wellness. And, you know, the person that is complacent, chronically sedating themselves, passively, leisurely watching sports, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I guess if that's the way they want to live their life, I don't see too many of those people very, very healthy in their as they age, though. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that is a self-esteem destroying behavior because it violates our, you know, the way we're supposed to co-create with life itself and be, you know, childlike. You know, that's not very childlike. That's very, like, adult-like.
Well, it's just... It's easy to get bogged down in life, okay? Because even right now, you've got like a million different things on the go. You know, you got your days planned out, your weeks, your months, your years. You've got these things that you've got to write. You've got this mail that you've got to send out. You've got the dishes that you have to do, the lawn that has to be mowed. And because you're not doing them, because you're not writing a list and knocking those things out one at a time... The pressure of those things not being finished mounts until the point where it's impossible to escape. It doesn't matter how many movies you watch, how many TV series you go through, how many games you play, how much you drink. It's still there, as Morpheus said, like a splinter in your mind driving you mad. We've got too much shit to do, man. You know?
Yeah, I know. Well, what I do and what I've done is downsize. You know, I've had an 8,000 square foot multi-million-dollar estate with a fleet of cars. I've had all these things, and you know what that ended up getting me? It ended up getting me more work than I ever wanted in my entire life. And the happiest I've ever been was when I was coming out of the illness and I had almost zero expenses, and I started to, you know, have some good income coming in. And that was the happiest I ever was because I downsized to the point where life was so much simpler. I took care of my kids. My business was very maintainable, very manageable at that time. And it provided for all of our needs. And I spent a lot of time outside enjoying life, playing guitar, you know, singing, working out, things that I love. Life was really delicious. And then, you know, like most human beings, I went and I complicated it, and I started getting more and more material stuff. I need more stuff. You know, there's a point when you get material stuff just becomes a burden. You know, it's not a couple nice things is cool, but some people, they have to keep up with the Joneses, and I think that's just half the reason why people are so sick. They put too much stress on themselves.
Yeah, you put too much stress on yourselves to buy shit that you don't need so you can keep up with the family lifestyles of people that you'll never meet and don't actually care about.
Exactly. It's pointless.
Now, if it is not clear at this point that everybody's under some kind of subtle mind control, I've got some news for you, you know? All right, we're not thinking for ourselves. A lot of the things we're thinking haven't been thoughts we've come up with. We've been programmed, okay? We are currently, I mean, you and me, Matt, and people like us, we're like ghosts in the machine now. We're random bits of code that don't fit with the overall program, and they're simply causing hassles for the overall system.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, we see an error over here. We better go correct that glitch. Yeah. it's insanity. I see it all around. And, you know, the secret to, you know, wellness is obviously got to start with stress, because stress is the number one cause, you know, for most chronic disease. It starts with the stress. And, you know, downsizing is actually a good thing. I mean, think about how happy you would be if you said, you know what, I don't need to live in a giant house and I don't need to drive the newest car if you can't afford it. You know, I mean, take whatever they say you should live on. You should probably cut that in half and drop it another level down and just go back to a very primitive way of existing. And you find yourself all of a sudden with extra money to buy healthy food. Because you don't need to have that big car anymore, but that big car is not going to get you any healthier. But if you put the right food in your body, you'll have a much healthier, more attractive body, and you'll feel better, and life will be much more delicious. You know, that's what I've discovered. It. I've had both ways. I've had all the stuff that you could imagine, and I've become miserable with it. And I've also had a very simple life with just enough to have, you know, a little entertainment. And I found a balance, and it was very rewarding and a lot less sickness, too.
Robert Kiyosaki come up with this, you know, idea that the best way to make money is passive income. Like, you don't have to work. You don't have to do anything. That way, every bit of money that you make, you actually have the time to enjoy it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I agree. And setting up systems that provide money for you is a very interesting way to do it. And I've done that in the past, you know, 5 years. That's all the income we receive. But mine's quite hands-on, actually. I stay a lot involved in it because I like to do a lot of coaching and consulting. However, Robert's right. I mean, he says working is the worst way to earn money. You know, when you're an employee, you're trading time for dollars. You're limited by the amount you can earn because they're going to buy it wholesale, sell it retail. The hours in each day, you can only work so many hours. There's no leverage. And you're also not going to get the tax benefits that you get when you have, you know, the pre-tax dollars to reinvest. So the whole game is stacked against you if you're an employee. So the best thing you can do is to keep your options open and start to model people who become successful and healthy.
Exactly. Have a look at people that have already done what you're wanting to do and just emulate them for a little bit until the point where you suddenly realize that you found your own style and your own way of doing things and you don't need to be inspired anymore and you are suddenly the inspiration for others. Is that about right?
That's pretty much it. And just be yourself, you know. And how do you find yourself? You just follow your own joy, regardless of what anybody else says, and you listen to your own, you know, beat your own drum, and you'll end up right where you're supposed to be.
Beat your own drum, and maybe you will eventually become a symbol. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 4 days a week. We do want people to go as well to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, give them a wee donation, you know? They're sitting back there, they're busting their ass, they're doing all these archives of all the shows that are on the network, like, every frickin' day, almost. Give them a bit of money, bro. Seriously. AmericanFreedomRadio.com. There's a donate button right there. It's not rocket science. It's just talk radio. My very special guest is still Matthew David Hurtado. I'm just now being... getting a message from my secondary guest, Ben Vigen. I'll bring him up in due course. But, Matthew, we didn't get enough of a plug in, I don't think, for the RNA drops. So if you have any drop-of-the-hat sales pitch or something of that nature that you want to, you know, pour forth, go for your life, son.
Sure. Sure. Well, just go to www.rnadrops.com and check out the knowledge base. And there's a lot of information that we put on there, a lot of videos, a lot of archives. I've interviewed some really good health experts out there. And there's also some courses. I have the How to Have a Super Body course. It's a 25-day program. I take you day by day, video and audio. It's a boot camp. Walk you right into, you know, getting your best body ever. And then the second course is one that I'm near and dear to, and it's all about how to beat food addiction and how to basically get control of the uncontrollable urge to eat all sorts of garbage and put the right things in your body. And if you need help in those areas, those are there, but there's all kinds of other information there you can check out, and give us a call if you got any questions.
Is there a website as well that we need to repeat a couple of times?
Oh, yeah. www.rnadrops.com. And just like it sounds, rnadrops.com.
I'm still having a little bit of a problem here getting my other guest. So we were talking a lot in the last hour about people, right? You know, I had this really profound realization the other day. It's like, when I die, and you probably understand this principle as well, maybe even a bit more than I, is that it is people in your life that are actually the source of your happiness and value. It's not the objects, it's not the positions, it's not the titles or anything like that. It's the people in your life that have value. Everything else is secondary as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's true. People are environments in and of themselves, and the right people are assets, and the wrong people, you know, you want to do away with them as fast as possible and get them out of your environment, because the key I found to happiness is to go where you're celebrated and not tolerated. And unfortunately, at most people's jobs, they're tolerated and they're not really celebrated. So that's, you know, key indicator right there of why they're unhappy.
Happiness isn't something that you can, like, just grab and, you know, you've got it, is it? It's something that
you can get it in a bottle, yeah, or a pizza, you know, a pizza or a bottle or a football game. Those are temporary happinesses, yeah, you can get those.
Well, I wonder as well if it's even possible to teach people what makes them happy, because everybody has to figure that out for themselves. That's the real bitch about it, eh? Sometimes you can't. It's not about telling people what to do with their life. It's about telling them what questions to ask themselves about what they want to do with their life.
Yeah, exactly. The right question will birth the right answer. And the thing about, you know, you gotta have some temporary fix. You gotta reward yourself. You gotta have a little fun. But the main thing is, like, look at David Goggins, the guy who was a former Navy SEAL, and, you know, he runs 300 mile marathons. You know, ridiculous. And when they asked him why he does it, he says, "Because I don't want to do it. Like, I hate doing it." And that makes no sense. Why would he do something he hates? Well, at the end of the day, the achievement that he gets on the other side of it is so much more rewarding in terms of happiness potential than it would be for him to sit on the couch and just be lazy. So, you know, you have to think of it like that too. There's always another side to the story.
Let's think about these questions that people ask yourself. I mean, the one that got me was, does it feel right? You know, when you're about to do something really big, life-changing, when you're, you know, getting rid of your job and that kind of thing. And I wasn't even able to think clearly at the time because I had a lot of anxiety. I hated my boss. I was tired and I was getting really high all the time, right? Because I just couldn't handle working. You know, yeah. that was how much I hated it. And yeah. And yet still, when asked, you know, is it right, I was able to make a clear decision. You know, it was somehow able to cut through all of that stuff because I just had enough. Maybe that is the point that people wanna start asking. When is enough enough? What has to happen before is enough enough is enough? How does your boss has to treat you before you quit? How low do you have to keep getting paid, and how high does the prices of everything you have to buy? How long along that cycle is it going to take before you try to find a better way?
Yeah, it's a good question, and it reminds me a lot of when I studied Mickle therapy and reverse therapy in regards to chronic fatigue and mind-body issues like fibromyalgia, things like that. You know, they found that there's three keys to happiness and health. So if you can understand your life through these three principles, your chances of having a mind-body connection being strong is good. And the first key is that you have to put yourself first. So you can't deny yourself. The second thing is you have to have boundaries with loving disallowance. For instance, your job, you know, they're overstepping your boundaries, making you feel like shit all the time, so you got to put a boundary up. The third thing is you got to have be able to assert yourself, so you're not passively aggressively imploding on the inside. So loving disallowance with boundaries, putting yourself first, and being able to assert yourself in the moment. For instance, somebody makes you mad at work, you're not supposed to say anything because you're supposed to suck it up. Well, that'll make you sick, okay? So what you do is you say, hey, what you just said made me feel really crappy, so screw you. You know, that would actually be true to yourself, and so that would prevent you from developing a mind-body-related illness from that job. But, you know, a lot of times you can't do those in your workplace, and I couldn't do that when I had my job. And so, like you, I wasn't getting high all the time, but what I was doing was I was doing a lot of other escape things. You know, I would go home and I would just retreat, and I was hiding and being depressed. And finally I said, you know what? This job's literally going to kill me. I'm done. And then I just upped and quit. That's how I decided to do it. I just walked out.
How did you quit? I mean, because it was it like on the on that episode of Half Baked where the guy resigns from the burger joint in that epic way? Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You're cool, but fuck you, I'm out.
Oh yeah, you know, I really wanted to do that, but I really wanted that last paycheck they owed me, so I just said I'm done. You know, send my last paycheck in the mail. And I just said, I'm not coming back. I just basically said, I'm leaving and I'm not coming back. And I had to. I had reached my critical mass, and I was so unhappy, miserable. If I got reprimanded one more time, I felt like I was going to throw the guy off the balcony that was telling me how to do my job better, because it was so ridiculous. Everything I do it well. And it was going over this ridiculous, just ridiculous. It's like the TPS reports in the movie Office Space. It was like, I had to listen to that crap every single day, and I had it. I couldn't take another minute of it.
you know, it's funny, like, I watched Office Space just when I was, before I even entered the workforce, I watched Office Space in the first year of university. But I kind of, like, watched it religiously, because before I'd even known what work was, already hated it and sympathized with people who wanted to escape from it, right? Hating work is a ubiquitous thing, is it not? It's everywhere. Everybody hates work. Nobody wants to have a job. And yet,
no.
they keep on doing it and that kind of thing. It's just...
Yeah. Well, fortunately, in the United States, Vinny, we have a different policy now, because it's actually better for most people to live off the welfare system than it is to work a job. So, you know, they've kind of got it made here if they work the system. I don't work the system, but you know, if I had to choose between working that job or working the system, I would definitely choose to work the system, because it would be a lot easier.
You know, it's like the easy road isn't necessarily the most rewarding one, you know?
Yeah.
Although,
it's not the most rewarding, but if it saves your life from a heart attack, it might be worth it.
Well, although, unless you're a criminal psychopath or something like that who's willing to steal and lie and defame and cheat his way to the top or something like that, there's plenty of rewards in that. Very few of those people go down. That's one thing I know, is that good people who become really good business people, they achieve a level where they want to have some happiness in their life if they still remain good people, if they don't get corrupted in the process. But it is possible to get corrupted in the process, because there are so many unethical sociopaths in business and media and politics and all of the great institutions that have a lot of money and power and influence associated. They just gravitate towards those kind of positions. It's almost impossible to avoid them. The only way to avoid them is to have your own business and don't employ any sociopaths.
Yeah, exactly. Put a stopgap on them, so that if they do emerge, you can quickly terminate them. You know, it's the only thing you can do. But you're right. I've noticed that in the business world, and but you know, there are a lot of really, really good people in business too that do quite well. My friend owns a multi-million-dollar blade company, and he built it from the ground up, and he's the most generous, giving person I know. So there are some good people out there, but overall, when there's places of power to be attained, the people that usually like to gravitate towards those are the people that use it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to give power and influence to people who really don't want it.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
You yeah. Have to lead us, but I don't want to lead us, but you're the only one who can. All right.
Exactly.
You know,
if unless the world it's like were that way, it's much better.
Yeah, it would be if getting power and influence was an obligation and not something you actually thirst after, because it's a pain in the ass. All right. Well, thank you, Matthew. I believe my guest Ben Vigen may have sorted out his technical issue. So AFR, if you could connect him at the moment, and if he does, in fact, connect up perfectly, we can say goodbye to our lovely guest who's been having a great conversation with Matthew David Hurtado from rnadrops.com. That was quite quite inspiring, I guess, and it's difficult for me to get inspired when you become like other people tell me I'm an inspiration. You know, it's like Polly Archie the clown. A man burst into tears, yeah, because the only person who can cheer him up is himself.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, and as suspected, we're still having trouble with Ben's connection. Happens every time he comes on. He's onto his fourth Skype account, because he's so dyslexic that he can't remember his passwords ever. it's quite funny. He's really great in investigative journalist, but just can't spell to save his life, you know.
That's great.
But you get people like that. Have you noticed that everybody's damaged in their own way, and they've all got their own little problems and idiosyncrasies, things that they can't do or won't do that they should be able to do? You know, there's no reason why you can't do that, you know, that sort of thing.
No, it's perfect. Yeah, I went to a company out in Chicago, Illinois. They do a executive brain profiling thing where they take you through these mental tests, and they give you an exam and tell you how you did. And it was pretty great. The guy looked at me, and he looked like he had like he'd seen a ghost for a minute. And he said, "I don't get it." He's like, "Did you try on all this tests?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, it's completely." Never seen nothing like this. He says, in some categories, you're off the charts brilliant, but in some ones, you're absolutely ridiculously not so smart. And I said, well, that's me, buddy. I'm like, that's what you're seeing. You know, it's just how it is.
It's like, I'm sorry, I'm a real person who's flawed, you know, and has limitations. Sorry about that, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a complete, you know, paradox. I mean, on one end, it was off the charts, and on the other hand, it was off the charts. Like, complete moron and, you know, pretty smart. I was like, well, you could ask my wife about that. She'll tell you all about that. That's why I have to surround myself with people who are brilliant in areas that I'm not. That's all it is.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, that exact same thing. Like, part of the reason I'm friends with my mate Mike is because he's a really good guitarist, and I can't play an instrument to save my life. You know, and part of the reason I'm friends with my mate Jono is because he doesn't drink, and I can't like, you know, stay completely away from alcohol like he's done for like 5 full years. You know, that's something I can't do. And also he's doing relatively well for himself with his beautiful wife and his little kid and a nice and you know, his own house and stuff like that. And he's still young, so he's you know, he's got some good examples for me. You know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was going to, you know, there's so many issues out there regarding health that are so common sense that, you know, one of them is, you know, erectile dysfunction. You know, that's a very hot topic for a lot of advancing aged men. And, you know, what's so funny about it is, you know, some of the most peculiar things can set your body up to experience that sort of dynamic. And I had a guy that worked for me. And it was a couple years ago, and he was a young kid. He was actually in his early 20s, fresh out of the military, and he said, you know, I'm having these problems. I, you know, got problem with my, you know, my stuff, and I can't get an erection. I don't know what to do. And I'm like, how long has it been going on for? He said, well, at least a couple months now. And I said, oh, that's not good, you know. So I said, all right, well, I'll see what I can think of, you know, and I just kind of observed for a couple of days, and I watched for about 3 days in a row, and he ate the same thing every single day for lunch. And I said, let me see what you're eating there. And I grabbed it, and it was this big bag of beef jerky that he would pick up at Walmart like once a week. You get all these bags of jerky. I looked at it, and the number one ingredient was the soy. It's not even real beef. It was soy, and soy is estrogen producing. And I said, have you had your hormone levels checked? Because I'm like, you're eating estrogen like every single day. Needless to say, he stopped eating that every single day and chewing on it all day long. And within a week, he was like right as rain. And I had another experience where a guy was using energy drinks, one of the common ones out there, drinking two of those a day. Same thing, erectile dysfunction. Quit the drinks, and within like 3 days, functioning came back. So, you know, some of these things that are so dramatic for people, and they come to these conclusions that, oh, it must be because I'm getting old or et cetera. It's usually not the case at all. It's usually because you're poisoning yourself some way, you know?
Yeah. I mean, hey, if you eat something and then you get real sick, maybe it was something you ate. If you keep drinking something and then you get real ill, maybe it was something you drank, you know? I mean, are people this conditioned that signals from their own body don't compute cause and effect anymore? You know, I'll be, you know, maybe 10 years down the track, I'll see a child fall down in front of me and scrape their knee. And then instead of holding their knee, they hold their face. And, oh, no, I hurt my knee while they're holding their face. You know, it was like a complete disconnect of brain function there, bro. That's
fun. Yeah. Oh, I like that. That is how it is, though. It's the, you know, it's like the crab cooking slowly in the boiling pot. It, you know, like I said, people are so diseased these days that they're so used to having symptoms of some kind that they don't know. It's like, well, I've been sick for the past 5 years with something, so how am I supposed to know if I'm eating something that's making me sick? You know, it's like, they don't know.
They don't know? Like, they absolutely have no clue. And that's the real problem here, is they don't even know that they don't know. Okay? They're just like, you know.
Oh, wow, something really bad, terrible is happening to me. Oh, well, totally. Bro, maybe just stop. Just stop. Put the can down. Put it down. Look at it. Have a look on the side of this. Okay. Have you got your laptop? You do have. Has it got wireless on it? You to do. Okay, well, it's probably causing you cancer, but before you turn it off, you can have a look at all the ingredients on the side of the shit that you are drinking on Google, okay?
Yeah.
Dr. Google that shit.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It is sad, you know. It's really sad, and, you know, some of the solutions can be so simple, and you know, the grocery market, the grocery stores are set up pretty obvious. You know, the outer edge, at least in the States, what you find is when you walk in, you see on one side, on one edge, you see all the fruits and vegetables. Then on the back, you see all the meats and you see the dairy and all that stuff. You see it all around the perimeter of the store because right in the middle, that's where all the fake stuff is. That's where they make all their money. So, you know, it's really kind of easy. You just shop the outskirts of the store and then just put a little bit of the stuff in the middle in your cart and you'd be pretty good. It's just the 80-20 rule. But, you know, usually, I mean, my kids are always trying to get me to eat that junk food all the time. And I admit I do eat it. And then I do get sick, you know, because I eat crap food. It's poison in. You get sick. So what do? You go back to eating the way that nature intended and then you don't get sick as much.
Well, I also wonder as well, we're getting into the point where we're not getting as sick as much because we're just eating better. And yet, I remember a time where I could eat lots and lots of crap all the time and I wouldn't feel any different. And then the realization hits me. The reason I wasn't feeling any different when I kept continuously eating crap is because I already felt like crap and it couldn't possibly get any worse.
Yeah. And what it is when you live in a sedentary lifestyle, you don't notice it as much. But what you do is you go out and try to do some of the things you did when you were little and you ran around all day. You know, get active. And you'll find out real quick when you get active what your diet's doing to your body. That's what I discovered.
There's also this propensity for not listening. Have you ever noticed that there's a shitload of people out there who talk but don't think? Right?
Like, oh, yeah.
If they don't have the answer and they literally don't know what they're talking about, they'll still give it a go. And all they do is remove any equivocation, any possible suspicion that this person was once intelligent. It's like, sorry, you've just written yourself off, bro. Shh. You can listen.
Yeah.
Just don't talk.
Yeah. It reminds me of you ever heard of the band called Steel Panther?
No.
Okay, there's a song that says, because you're beautiful when you don't talk, the kind of girl that I might stalk, but you open your mouth and you break the spell, talking doesn't do you well. You know, it's like, that's the theme.
In the Dark Knight, what was it, the head of the Falcone crime family's in a club, and there's a chick next to him, she goes, can we go somewhere where it's quiet so we can talk? And he goes, what makes you think I want to hear you talk? She goes, and then she goes, what?
Yeah, that's funny.
I mean, some people are like children. They should be seen but not heard. And you know what the most frustrating thing is? You may have noticed, I'm a pretty good conversationalist. But there's not any real representation in any of the mainstream media quite at this level. All right? Not at this kind of point of honesty.
Yeah, or any honesty. Yeah.
Well, without depth, they gloss over things.
They're reading off a teleprompter usually, and it's all packaged for them. So there's no soul there.
What are they, pre-packaged? I mean, here's the thing. We can't blame people for their actions, okay? And let me explain the proviso on that first. Sure, you can blame people for their actions. They hurt somebody, they damaged something. But currently, they're being beset by weaponized, well-developed propaganda and programming and mind control techniques that are being fed into their life, whether they are going to school or watching TV or playing their video games or listening to the music, any way that they are participating in the world through media or even in person is in large part corrupted. So it's a miracle, a fucking miracle, that any of us have woken up at all. But wake up we do. Sometimes when you haven't lived a full life, you haven't gotten to 80 or 90 yet, you have this thing called impatience. You know, you want things to happen now. And without the benefit of hindsight through the fullness of time, you realize that things are happening already. You can't blame people for being brainwashed. You can only rejoice that day after day, more and more are waking up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good indicator that you see a lot more, you know, more and more people are posting on Facebook, because that's where everybody hangs out in social media these days. And it's almost like, it's desensitizing now to the truth movement, because my whole feed is like truth movement, you know, some kind of waking up, you know, sort of essence coming in my feed all day long. And I like that, but it's just, I don't know, this whole social media thing, I think, is just a complete nightmare. I don't know what's going on with it, but it's like either an advertisement or a picture of somebody's food, or I get a truth movement thing. But here's what I'm talking about, is when somebody posts something about the truth, there's one like, and when somebody posts something about what they ate for lunch, there's 375 likes and 25,000 comments, you know? It's just ridiculous.
Well, you never needed the majority to sway or topple a government, have you? Or a way of life.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, I mean, although I try not to look down on people and see them as the slave scum that they are. I just kind of give it away there, didn't I? you know, although I try not to do that, it's sometimes almost necessary to get upset about it, isn't it?
Well, yeah. It's a natural instinct, actually.
Okay. And the thing is, people are so used to denying their natural instincts. Okay, it's not okay to get angry. It's not okay to yell. It's not okay to smash a politician's head with a baseball bat and then implant little cicada eggs in his head so that they can eat his brain. Okay? It's not okay to do that.
Yeah.
No matter how much you want to. There's certain things you're just not allowed to do that you're inherent, you know, natural laws. We've been trained to not be a part of the natural world. And so we don't follow natural law because it's not a part of us anymore. It's been bred and brainwashed systematically out of the entire human race.
Yeah, and you're really hitting on a big subject, because one of the biggest ventures I'm working on now, I have a new business coming called Beating Food Addiction, because a lot of this is, it's what you're talking about. You're talking about how people have become so entrained, so conditioned, they don't even know what food is anymore. You know, they really have no concept, and you know, and that's the hardest part, is that in order for them to actually get their health back, they're going to have to figure it out. But how do we make that connection? How do we make it normal again? How do we make it so it actually is the you know, the first thing they think about? And I came up with a solution, because the body's governed by three forces. You have cravings, hunger, and fullness levels. And so if you break things down to the essence, you find the power in all things. And so what you got to do is you got to realize what is actually making you addicted to something. Well, you crave what you eat, and you eat what you crave. So it's a self-perpetuating cycle. So the first thing you do is you change your cravings. You want to pick out foods that are consciously going to promote health that you also like. And you do that in a very conscious way in the beginning, and you pre-program it. And so what you do is you take time slots of when you're going to eat, and you put your foods consciously in those time slots. And if you eat the same thing at the same time for 2 weeks straight, you don't worry about calories, none of that other stuff. That stuff's just all theory anyway. You know, so what you do is you put the same food in the same time slot for 2 weeks every day, and you eat till you're full. And then what happens is you reprogram the cravings that your body is naturally craving at that time. So you're programming the computer. And then what you do on the third week is you cut the portion sizes back by half. And what that does is it turns on an addiction to that food, and it increases the propensity that you have for that, to the point where you could walk in to your old favorite fast food place and you will have no desire for that garbage because you're literally addicted to the food that you made yourself addicted to. So that is the system that I have been using for quite a while now. And I didn't make it up. I learned it from somebody much more intelligent than myself, but that actually works. And that works in spite of all that propaganda, media programming, brainwashing, etc., because in essence, what they're trying to do is to get you to work on those three forces anyway. They're trying to sell you to go get, you know, the junk food cravings, and then your fullness levels get all out of whack because they put drugs in the food to make you hungrier and hungrier, so you have no concept of what being full is anymore. You see, so you break it all down to those three essences, and then you got the power back in your favor.
Well, at least that's one way of getting the power back in your favor. But it's a flow-on effect, yeah, isn't it? That's not just the only thing, because there's a whole bunch of flow-on effects, okay? And the same happens, yeah, in the reverse, okay? If you're feeling great, but your diet is shit, you ain't going to be feeling great for long. And on top of that, let's take starvation. And for example, I recall an elderly woman spoke at a Rates Revolt protest. And she said, when your food budget is $50 a week and you have to dedicate an extra $10 a week to pay your rates, it means you're basically going to have to starve. And when people are starving, their bodies don't have the ability to stay healthy. They just don't. And it's downhill from there. Now, what people in America don't realize is that although they're swimming in food, junk food, they're still starving because there's no actual food in that junk food. It's just junk.
Exactly. Exactly. That's right. They're overfed and undernourished to the point of medically being diagnosed as a diseased person because of it. You know, it's like being in a third world country with the deficiencies that they have in a third world country, but you're oversaturated with all this junk so that your body's nice and plump, but you got no energy. That's the whole point. You got all the fatness, but you got none of the health.
Now, take that one concept that you've got something that's in your hand. It looks like food. It smells like food. It tastes like food, but it's not. Right now, take that concept, something that looks like something, smells like it, tastes like it. For all intents and purposes, you think that's what it is, but it's not. Now, that applies to almost everything I've ever learned in my life, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the smokescreen, and it's there's always two stories to every story, and so it does apply to other things. It applies to, like, even look at, like, the, you know, the love and the romance industry. I mean, it's, you know, we have dating websites now for people that want to, you know, date. And what do you have? You have people with ADD now because they have dating ADD. And they're always complaining about it. You know, I have a lot of friends that are doing this, and they're like, gosh, I can't really find anybody serious. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? You got 1,000 choices right on the screen right in front of you. Well, that's the problem, is because it's not real. I mean, it's a facade on many levels.
So we're going through life in a perpetual facade in order to disempower us and make us easy to control so that we won't get in the way when important people want to change things.
Yeah, it's true. It's very sad. But that's at the end of the day, that's what it is. It's how do you keep all the all the animals occupied so that we can go ahead and make arrangements for them to move from one pasture to another.
Mm. Now, I just read an interesting message from somebody. We were talking about this dude, and he's like going around all over the place talking about me and talking smack about I wouldn't do this, that, and the other for him, you know. And it's just like, dude, you're out of your mind, okay? And you're going crazy. And this person's like messaging back, and she's like, yeah, I kind of picked up on that, but he denies having a mental illness, but I'm not so sure. it's the problem with being mentally ill. You're too mentally ill to notice.
It's a vicious cycle.
Yes. Oh man. Oh. See now this is the thing. It's like that's another. Oh my god. Have you noticed how much crazier everybody's getting? Like, I remember back in the day, you know, I'd maybe see one or two like mentally ill or crazy people or something like that, but now it's like they're popping up everywhere, bro. I mean, like pimples on a teenager.
Yeah, I've seen some real nut jobs, and it's off the charts. And you know what's crazy about it is they got to make all these new laws to match for all these new crazinesses. And, you know, last year alone, I think there was 81,000 pages of law written up into the books or whatever in the U.S. here. So they got all these laws, and they're just endless and endless and endless and endless. And so now you got these people out here with all these crazy behaviors, and there's always a law to match it. And so – you know, that's when the political correctness comes in, and that enslaves you because you think, well, it's not okay for me to get mad at somebody and tell them off because I'll probably be breaking some sort of law, and then they'll just say I harassed them, and then I'll have three lawyers coming after me. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous.
Well, I wonder about also, is it possible to sort of like awaken people from this, like all of a sudden? I mean, I said this on the show yesterday. I mean, I like to weaponize language, okay? Like, turn words into a weapon so that it can pierce armor, so that it can destroy brain matter, you know, that kind of thing. Really make it sharp. Wonder how we can tell people that there is no fucking Santa Claus. That their entire life, as they've lived it, is one great big deception. How do we tell them that the nightmare scenarios that they watch on the movies every summer are actually what's planned for our society? How do we tell them that and have them actually believe us? And I think the answer is you can't, right? Just like the Matrix, nobody can be told what it is. You have to see it for yourself. And I think the same is true of scumbaggery, all right? If you haven't been a victim of scumbaggery, you won't believe it. You won't even know that it exists until one of these scumbags comes into your life and you realize that this wonderful, fluffy society that's supposed to like protect your freedoms and all of that kind of stuff isn't there.
Oh yeah, you figure out real quick that you never had any freedom. I've seen it all. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's mind blowing, and it's so true. I mean, until they call them, you know, the invisible tripwires, and until you step out of your comfort zone, and until you start expanding yourself and taking your power back, you live within the matrix. So you're already predestined and pre-controlled. But the minute you take the initiative to step out, you run into a whole myriad of all these invisible tripwires, and you find out real quick that they've already thought of that.
In fact, I noticed the same phenomenon when I had lost my YouTube channel, okay? Everybody goes, oh, did you back up your videos?
Yes! I already thought of that! Thank you!
Did you think about messaging all your subscribers?
Yes! I already thought of that! Thank you!
Like, again and again, the most obvious suggestions, you know, it's like those points in a movie, you know, where people wake up and they've got like memory loss or something, and they're like, hey man, we need to try to get out of here, and they're like, yeah bro, we'd never thought of that, you know, we woke up here and like, oh no, fuck our families and our homes and our lives and stuff like that, let's just stay here in this place that we don't want to be, this just sounds really brilliant, you know. <That's funny. laughs> Just go, bro. You know, I know already. Okay, and the fact that they think that they actually need to school you or teach you in something that you already know, it's just goddamn scary.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny. Yeah, I get well. I won't. I mean, some people, you got to give them some grace. They're, you know, a little set in their ways. But I get quite a bit of people that, you know, don't know how to place an order online sometimes. And so they call. And I never judge, but I wonder, you know, how does anybody survive these days without understanding how to operate a website? You know, it's. I guess it can be done.
Well, we've killed all the animal predators and things of that nature. Well, we're getting a bit of feedback on that on your end there, Matthew. Could you turn your speakers down just a little bit, just the volume on those? That'd be nice. All right. Sorry about that. Because we've killed off all the mountain lions and the bears and so on and so forth, we don't really have any natural predators around anymore. You know. People aren't being dying in record numbers, being dragged away into the night by wolves and savage tribes of warrior children or anything like that. You know, we've conquered the major life-threatening dangers that come from the outside that would make you want to preserve your life. Now, the only dangers that are left are the ones you put yourself into, the ones that you get programmed into desiring, all right? And so natural selection doesn't exist anymore. It's artificial selection now, where those who accept the program will die eventually, and they will ensure their own demise, and there'll be nothing they can do to stop it until such a point as a number of people come into their lives and tell them that there is something that they can do to stop it. The first 6, 7, maybe even 20 people that come and tell them that there's something different can be done will basically just get shot down, called a conspiracy theorist, and told to fuck off. You know?
Yeah.
But when
pretty much.
But when Mr. Number 20 comes along, you're like, hey, you know, there's about 19 other people that have been told to fuck off. But, bro, for some reason, I'm going to listen to you. Keep talking.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it works. Yeah.
You don't listen until you do.
Yeah. And, you know, that goes back to a lot of the, you know, the education stuff. Like you talked about the Robert Kiyosaki and, you know, spending time on education is just one of those things where I don't know why it becomes something that just is lost. Well, you know, when somebody leaves school, they think that their education's over, but they never really got an education in school. You know, the real education comes when you get into real life. And, you know, like I talk about modeling, and I think it's just one of the best things you can do out there. And it is just to reach for something you'd want to experience and find somebody that has it and buy their material. You know, they're going to give you their whole life work, you know, on their audios and their books. They're going to put it all in there. You might as well buy it all up and just, you know, start to take that awareness in you know, so for me, my wake up call came because I had to, because I got sick. But then once I woke up, I'm all out there everywhere now. I buy everybody's stuff, and I try to get through it when I get time. And you know, I don't know what to say to some people. I mean, sometimes you talk to people and you tell them what you know, and then you got to dumb it down to the most ridiculous conversation ever, where it's nothing more than talking about what was on TV or what's going to happen, you know, tomorrow in the Packers game or whatever. But I wish that, I don't know. I wish there was more people out there that would engage, just, you know, reach and start learning from people that are awake. You know, like, your show is a great resource, and there's so many others out there, and it's so easy these days. You can put it on your pod and you can work out, and you can just let it play in your ear hole the whole time. You don't have to do anything. You just let it play and you'll remember a few things and you're like, wow, that was incredible.
That's right. The Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that makes love to your ear holes.
Yes. That's funny.
God, that was disgusting.
Yeah.
I'm
in your ear hole right now.
Just thinking about the wax on the tip of the...
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It just gets worse. It just gets worse. In fact, this happens to me when I'm at parties and stuff like that. I keep cracking people up. Eventually, it just gets disgusting. Gonna run out of material.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to take it to the lowest common denominator then. You got to drop it into the realm of the, you know, like the 1990s rap music analogies and things that they threw out, you know, the I'm all up in your ear hole right now, you know.
Yeah. The Vinnie Eastwood Show. It gets all up in your ear holes.
Yeah.
That's much more tasteful.
Well, you know what? One thing I was excited about this year, though, that actually I don't think has ever happened before, but did you see that D's Nuts was running for president?
Yeah, I did, actually.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking if they ever had like a house plant or like a Muppet or something run for president, it would be the pinnacle achievement in all of history, just to show how much of a, you know, a debacle and just how ridiculous the office actually is.
I can just imagine this, like, President Ficus's inauguration, and he gets put on the podium, that kind of thing, and the crowd's like crying and you know, President Ficus, it's the first plant president. It's so inspirational. I just can't contain myself over the ficus. Okay, now, it might be in the realm of fantasy, but it's not that far off. You know, I mean, and at least the ficus wouldn't lie to you, because he doesn't have any vocal cords, bro.
We would all know we're fucked. I mean, there's no question about it now. I mean, you know, yeah, like you said, there's gonna be little lies coming out of that. You know, it's all truth from here.
You just imagine him signing executive orders, you know, and like just, you know, ink one of his leaves and just stamp it on the legislation. Be the ficus president. Oversaw 17 foreign wars or something like that during his termship. And then got reelected.
That is what I'm rooting for. I'm hoping that day comes.
Yeah, you can just imagine him, like, you know, stamping out legislation, just out it comes. You know, the lobbyists just prepare and like just write all the legislation for it. You know, like you know, there'd be a new health system, ficus care, or something like that, and there'd be an all out ban on herbicides. You know, none of my brothers are going to die. You know, like it turns, And it just destroys America, you know, like all the farmers out of work and stuff like that. And there'll be these massive protests, millions of people like burning ficuses in effigy around the reflecting pool and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, I love that train of thought. That is what I'm hoping for. That will be when I believe in the country once again. I believe in the greatness of the American people. When they elect a house plant for president.
Well, I mean, the it probably has a higher IQ than the last couple of presidents. I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the classic mistake of people is to say, well, it can't get any worse, you know.
No, it always does. Yeah. Yeah, and, yeah, you know, that's another topic altogether. But, you know, I thought it was very... you know, it was just one of those things where when D's Nuts ran, I just thought that is exactly what we need right now. We need to just expose the entire, you know, absurdity in the whole, like a TV sitcom, you know, scenario that's going on here. This is just a game. This is all just, you know, staged. It's all just, it's like watching a terrible, terrible sitcom that has nothing of entertainment value whatsoever until Donald Trump came and added some to it.
Well, that's another thing. It's like, do you want your false choice between Hillary or Jeb? Or do you want your false choice between Donald and Bernie? And then it's just, these people, okay, here's what the thing is. Obama ruined it for me. Okay, he said everything I wanted to hear, everything I wanted to see. The lobbyists out of Washington, end the wars, close Guantanamo Bay, stop mass surveillance. He did the exact opposite, didn't he? I will never, never be dumb enough to trust somebody who has a presidential campaign again! Ever!
Exactly.
Okay? I'm too intelligent to be swindled again. And if I do... somehow turn out to be wrong, if a president actually gets elected and starts changing the country and somehow is able to avoid getting assassinated in Dealey Plaza, I mean, then I will just rejoice. I was wrong. Thank you. Thank you. But until then, sorry, I'm not going to be a sucker.
Yeah, no kidding. It's the saying that you can fool some people some of the time, and you can fool all the people all the time. That's the axiom. It's just what happens every 4 years. Every 4 years, people swing to the other side. They, you know, or 8 years. So every time there's a new, you know, a new president that comes in, they always say, "Hey, you know, the last one was a Democrat, and look at how horrible it is. We better put a Republican in there now." So they throw one of them in there, and then they find out it didn't do anything, and so they just swing to the other side. They just swing like a pendulum to the other side because they think that's the answer. Like you said, it's still the choice. It's two choices of the same hand. You know, the same thing. The left or the right hand of the devil. Which one do you want?
Yeah, and that's what should be cradling D's Nuts. Or also, you know, that hey, if people vote for D's Nuts, would that make them swing voters? Oh damn, I'm good. Oh my god. Just fucking out of nowhere. Sorry. Sometimes I get preoccupied on the radio instead of educating people. I just like to have fun and have a few laughs. And it's like, I read this article today about me, Matthew, and I'm sorry we're coming to the end of the show, but The author a couple of years ago, he said, you know, although I'm a conspiracy theorist and everything, I still like to have a bit of a laugh, you know? Just because of being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? And thank you very much, Matthew David Hurtado, ladies and gentlemen. You can check him out at rnadrops.com. It's like DNA, but with an R, like a pirate. We'll see you again sometime. Thank you very much for listening.